There's a mass exodus right now of very talented people, and we need to find a way to capture that knowledge and pass it on for the future of our industry.
Welcome to Speaking Insurance, a weekly podcast where we talk with successful insurance and risk management professionals to gain some insight into their success and to talk about the topics that are relevant to you. This is Speaking Insurance. Today we talk with Jose Flores. Jose graduated from the University of North Texas and is now a senior underwriter for the World Risk Division of AIG. So Jose, go ahead and just briefly introduce yourself, where you're from, and how you got into insurance.
I am actually a native Texan, and I went to the University of North Texas, and I received a degree in insurance. So that was the start of my insurance career altogether.
So now, when you went to the University of North Texas, did you know anything about insurance and risk management as a career?
I actually did not. My first initial thought in college was to become a Wall Street broker and go into personal finance. And I'm glad that I dodged that bullet because I graduated in 05, so 08 would have been a very, very rough time for me.
So what kind of enticed you to look at insurance and risk management?
Actually, you know, it started off with the professors at UNT. They kind of coerced me, if you will, into jumping into insurance. And it all started with an elective. I had to take a business elective. And I decided, hey, you know, I saw Principles of Insurance and PNC 1. And I said, you know what, how hard could that be? You know, so I went in and I took the course and I got an A, but really motivated me that the professors were really interested in the students and, you know, all of the other things that they added on, the networking and, you know, the continuation, the scholarships and so on and so on. So it really, really changed my mind about what I wanted to do.
So were you nervous going into insurance? Did you really think you'd make a career out of it?
I was more nervous about telling my parents that I was in my senior year that I was going to switch my major more than anything else. But I knew that it made sense. Insurance made sense to me. And, you know, the way my professors explained it, about half of this is technical and the other half is common sense. And if I had not taken that approach, and realized that this made sense for me and this was common sense to do this, I don't know what I would have done, to be honest with you.
Did you get any internships while you were studying?
I did. I was very lucky, and that was one of the added benefits of going through the program at UNT is that they provided a lot of internships. And, you know, there's a lot of companies that are willing to do that to attract talent in. And I ended up with a smaller regional company by the name of Union Standard, which is part of the Berkeley Group. And, I had a wonderful experience there so much that after I graduated, they extended an offer to me and I went to work for them as a commercial underwriter. And I spent 8 years there with them.
So what to you does it mean to be a commercial underwriter?
You know, one of the things that I appreciate a lot about commercial underwriting is that not every day is the same. You're working on different businesses. They have different risks associated with them, and it's up to you to make those analysis and create the pricing and, you know, the coverage and try to help find a business solution for that individual broker and business alike.
So what skills have you found are needed to be successful in what you do?
So there's a couple of things that come to mind. Number one, you need education. While it was invaluable to me to go to University of North Texas and receive a degree in insurance, it isn't sufficient enough. It creates a good foundation, but you need to always continue to want to learn. Want to learn about a different product, improve on your craft. Just like a point guard, you know, throwing free throws. I mean, he does that consistently. He has to consistently practice that because it will come up. Those little changes in the future will make an impact when it's necessary. So education is fundamental in everything that we do. Education doesn't really transfer into wisdom. Wisdom only comes from mentorship and experience. So I think the other thing to be successful as an underwriter or just in the insurance industry in general is to have mentors around you, people that have a wealth of experience that you can learn from, you know, not commit the same mistakes that they did in the past. So I think that's fundamental, you know, and hard work. There's no substitute for hard work. And that includes, you know, burning the midnight oil. You know, most people choose to go home after an 8-to-5 day. Other people choose to pick up a book and continue to learn more so. Other people continue to improve on their education by, you know, taking classes and networking. Can't forget about networking. Networking is so important in this business. And I think, you know, going to symposiums and getting involved in your local association make the difference. You get to meet people that are in your industry that have been doing it longer than you have, and you get to meet people that are doing it just the same way you are. They're at the same stage as you are, and you're going to continue to see them throughout your career. So I think that's important. And then passion for what we do, improving our craft. This is both an art and a science altogether, and we have to look at it that way.
So you mentioned education as something that's necessary to be successful. So talk a little bit about your education and how education has played a role in your life personally.
Right. So right off the bat, like I mentioned before, education is just so fundamental to this business. The more we know, the better decisions we can make. And while UNT provided a great foundation, it didn't really show me where the rubber met the road. I knew that I was going to have to get that through experience and through other methods. And, you know, one of the designations that I currently have is a CIC. And I pursued the CIC for a couple of reasons. Number one, it increased my education with coverage a tremendous amount. It really entails a lot of discussions and observation of the actual policy and how it works. The other thing that it does is that it provides a common interest between myself and the brokers. We see a lot of our brokers attending the same things. And you know what? They're the ones selling the insurance, right? So I have to know what their needs are and anticipate these things. And I think that's what, you know, the National Alliance does. It anticipates the needs of the future while addressing the things of the present. And I think it's so important that we know all these things as they continue to go on. And again, the only constant in insurance is change. So if you're not learning and you're not growing, you're not really doing much.
Has having a designation helped you in your career?
I think it has. One of the things that it has done for me is that it's proven to other people that they can give me more responsibility in my underwriting duties, whether that's giving me, you know, more authority. And the other thing, too, is that when I go out and visit brokers, they know that I've spent the time to continue my education, and they can trust me with the decisions I'm going to make or the consultative approach that I take with them and the responses that I give them to their questions. They know they can trust those things.
So your career progression, you started with a regional company, and now you're working with a national company.
Yes, currently I am a senior underwriter for the World Risk Division of AIG. And my job is to find commercial insurance solutions for U.S. companies doing business internationally. So it is a very different, I guess, arena of commercial insurance. And, you know, the fundamentals of insurance are always going to be there, whether you're at a regional or you're at a national. The only difference is the complexity of the accounts. The size of the accounts changed dramatically. While I was used to working with medium-sized businesses with a regional company, now I am focused on working with larger companies at AIG. They require a lot more analysis and detail and honestly some creative ways to put those solutions together.
So what prompted you to move to a national company?
Actually, you know, it's really funny that you asked that. I spend a lot of time helping the University of North Texas and mentoring younger people, whether that's in high school through the INVEST program that the IAB does. And one of the things that came up in one of the presentations that I was making to them is somebody asked me, what is your five-year plan? Because I was going in there asking them what their five-year plan was. And, you know, I'm sitting there at the end of 5 years and somebody's looking at me and saying, well, what's your five-year plan? And I really didn't know what the answer to that was. I knew what it was before I left college, but I didn't know what it was going to be after that. So Number one, it prompted me to go get my CIC, right? Increase my education. And then the other thing that it did was that it motivated me to, instead of trying to preach the kids what they should have as a five-year plan and everything else, that I should consistently have one too. So I knew I needed to take the next step, and that's what really prompted me to take on more responsibility and move to AIG and learn different things. And again, you know, I loved working for the Berkeley Group. They taught me the craft of underwriting, but I needed to learn a little bit more about insurance, doing something different, and I think that's the reason why.
So, Jose, being a family man with wife and kids, how did this five-year plan translate back to your personal life as well?
Oh, wow. I mean, it's made such a vast improvement in, number one, in my income. You know, again, with more responsibility usually comes a little bit more income, you know, so I'm very happy of where I'm at and everything that AIG provided, including the benefits of working at AIG. So it has improved from that standpoint and work-life balance as well. I think a lot of carriers are learning that you don't need to be in the office 8 to 5, that you can work remotely. We can do this business from anywhere, basically. And it's provided a work-life balance. I don't have to work as hard because I know a little bit more about insurance. While in the past, you know, I had to spend more time and making sure and reassuring myself that this was the right thing. And now having the confidence to go in and saying, you know, whatever used to take me 3 hours now only takes me an hour or maybe less. So it's made a vast improvement from that aspect, which gives me more time to spend with my family.
So talking about that, you've obviously been successful in your career. So what motivates you? What drives you to be successful?
I think a lot of it has to do with having a spouse and some kids. They will definitely put some fire under you to do and improve your life. But not only that, but just leaving a good legacy. I think that's really what motivates me to do what I do. And, you know, there isn't enough diversity in insurance right now. And if I can just change a little bit of that and the perception that people have with just different people entering the business, which we will need, and I can prove to people that, you know, you can trust, you know, a kid that's wet behind the ears coming out of college to try to do this business, because we're interested in learning. We're interested in improving our craft, and we need more people to come in. And so I think leaving a good legacy for others to follow, being an example for other people to follow, is what drives me to continue in this business and continue to improve.
What is it that excites you about insurance?
You know, one of the things that excites me the most about insurance altogether is that you can tie it to other passions that you have. You know, if you like exotic cars, you can write insurance for exotic cars. If you like boats and yachts and you like sailing, you can do marine insurance. If you like entertainment and you like film, you know, there's a lot of companies that do entertainment insurance. So you go down the spectrum on and on and on. While it may sound boring up front, really you can tie it to any passion that you have. And like I said, I mentioned a couple of things that, you know, stand out to me, but I think that once you dig deeper into it, you can really do whatever it is that you want to do in insurance, while at the same time enjoy some of that with your hobbies as well.
So Jose, when you first got into the industry, was there anything that you were hesitant about or any fears that you had starting out?
Right. So the biggest fear that I had, number one in underwriting, was here I am, you know, fresh out of college. They're going to sit me behind a desk in the next 6 months and I'm going to have my own book of business. And my biggest fear is that I was going to have a huge loss, right? And, you know, like I said, you know, people that surrounded me, you know, they said, in this business, you know, we're going to have losses. You got to get over that fear. Even if you have a big loss, some of us had had many. So don't worry about that. You know, worry about what thought process you put into the business. There are certain things that we can control and there are certain things that we cannot control. If you can figure that out early on, gain a good relationship with your brokers, understand your book, you're going to be fine. You know, you'll have good years and we'll have bad years, you know. So I think I was very scared at the beginning, managing, you know, multi-million dollar book and making million dollar transactions, you know, while on the face doesn't really seem like a lot to somebody straight out of college, it's pretty intense. It's pretty intense.
So then what advice would you have for a young person just starting out in insurance?
Never stop learning. And the other thing, too, is that I know there's a lot of talk about millennials and their work ethic and so on and so on. One of the things that it took me a long time to recognize right out of college was that I was very ambitious and I wanted to light everything on fire and be a trailblazer. But I had to realize that I don't know everything, number one. And because I had a good idea, it doesn't mean that it needed to be implemented at that point in time. It's not that the ideas weren't good, it's just that people weren't ready for them. So we can't be hurt by the fact that our ideas were not supported at that point in time. They may be in the future, but there is some things that we are not privileged to know about just yet, or maybe there's some history behind why the ideas were not accepted at that point in time. So, you know, I think surrounding yourself by some very smart people, people with experience and a lot of wisdom in the insurance business will help you get your ideas put into practice. But we have to learn to be patient. Again, continue with your education, continue with the networking and surrounding yourself with good people.
What about any tools or anything that you use or that you have used that you feel like has helped you out?
You know, it's really funny. So whenever I started in the business at the Berkeley Group, there was 20 and 30 years underwriters there, and they actually even taught me how to manually rate. And they said, we need you to learn this because we want you to know how these rates are developed. While the system can do it for you, it still doesn't explain why it is or why it's coming out that way. So we want you to understand the fundamentals of that. And so, you know, having that and, you know, having the little premium wheel to let you know, all these things that they used as tools, you know, helped me learn, you know, from a basic standpoint how things work. But, you know, as the years progress, you know, just a vast amount of information that's being compiled and how to decipher that to help you make better decisions has improved underwriting a tremendous amount. Technology has really changed the way we do business and the way we make decisions. We don't always count on everything that the, you know, the tools are telling us because we still have to have that intuitive piece internally to help us make the final decision, but it has helped a bunch, you know, anything from predictive modeling to help you create better loss picks has changed the game a lot, if you will.
Anything else, Jose, that you wanted to touch on that we haven't touched on?
You know, I think we still need to create a movement that entices people to come into the insurance industry. I don't think that one individual necessarily has a solution for that, but it's going to be a group of people, a group of people that are my age, a group of people that are far older than myself that need to excite people about the insurance industry. We need as many people as we possibly can. There's a mass exodus right now of very talented people, and we need to find a way to capture that knowledge and pass it on for the future of our industry. Things are changing. The speed in which things are changing is even greater. So we need to light some fires under some people to get this done, and a lot of them too.
Thanks, Jose. For more information on industry resources and educational opportunities, visit thenationalalliance.com. To comment on today's podcast or suggest topics for future podcasts, visit The National Alliance on LinkedIn. This is Speaking Insurance.